Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Dawn. I serve as one of the pastors here at DSBC. And today I get to continue with you in this series that we've been in called Church People Are a Mess. For those of you who are maybe are new to this whole following Jesus thing or still trying to figure out what it's like to follow Jesus, you're like, amen. I'm not sure I want to join that crowd because they're seriously a bit of a mess, right? I got to tell you, we know, we're sorry, but we're working on it. That's why we come every Sunday, though, so we can keep working on it. So yes, we're continuing in this series, Church People Are a Mess. And we've been going through 1 Corinthians with Pastor Paul, who has been writing letters to the Corinthians. The Corinthian church was a church that Paul actually started and then continued on his missionary journeys. And then come to find out, the church had a few problems. They had some divisions, had some conflict, right? And so kind of sounds a little bit familiar. We do that still to this day. How many thousands of years later? And we're still doing the same thing. Maybe God knew we would need some words of wisdom to share with us. And so, but this whole concept, Paul starts off with this whole concept of how God brings his people together is a mess. This idea of people from all different walks of life and perspectives and thoughts, and then you shove them together in a room, and at that time it would have been more around a table on a regular basis, and expect it to all go well. Does it go well now? Let me hear you. No, I mean, we got the holidays coming up. Even within our families, it doesn't go well, right? We need wisdom when God's bringing all these foolish people together, trying to make something and show something that is beautiful and different. God knew there would be some struggles. And so as Paul's getting ready to write his letter, he's hearing from different people about all these divisions within the church of Corinth. And the things that they were divided over was, what Bible teacher is the best? Who should we listen to the most? Kind of sound familiar, like we've got some, you know, Billy Graham fans or Joel Osteen or Caleb Campbell fans, right? Who do we follow? Who do we know? Who's going to tell us so we don't have to think too hard about what we should do? They were arguing about entering into non-Christian spaces. Just tell us, what are the safe places to go into and the not safe places to go into? If I walk into this space, am I going to ruin the name of Jesus? They were arguing about those kind of things. They were arguing about sex, marriage, divorce. They were arguing about how to do communion, right? They were arguing about what happens when we die. Do these things sound familiar? What's my favorite? They were arguing about hair. Yeah. And frankly, you know what? I think it still happens today. I see mullets and mustaches coming back, and I got to tell you, I got feelings. I'm struggling. But I'm open to conversation about it. We can talk about it. Yeah. We need wisdom today just like the people of Corinth needed wisdom. And so as we read this letter from Paul, know that this letter was written to a specific people in a specific time. As Pastor Caleb would say, we are time-traveling tourists, but there is certainly bits of wisdom that we can learn as we dive into this letter today. And so before we get into this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, just notice that Paul is getting ready to lay a foundation. So as all these things that I've mentioned that the Corinthian church was struggling with, Paul's like, you know what? I'm starting to realize a theme here. Y'all are lacking in wisdom. You're talking to me about hair and communion and what happens when we die and what Bible teacher should I follow. But really, there's a bigger problem going on here. You don't understand how wisdom works. You don't understand how spiritual wisdom works. And so what he's doing in this first passage before he gets into all these details and all of these little arguments that feel like huge arguments, he's like, we gotta lay some foundation here. And again, we gotta be so careful, because the first thing the Corinthians are saying is, tell us who we're supposed to follow. Is it Paul? He mentions a guy named Apollos. mentions a couple different people in Scripture, and Paul's like, no, the Spirit of God gives you wisdom. Yes, it's great to listen to these teachers and these leaders, but they don't know everything. Only the Spirit of God knows everything. And so remember that as we're diving in. So let's get into the Scripture. We'll start with verse 6. Paul says, we do, talking about Paul and the leaders with him, speak a wisdom among the mature. And I want to just point out real quick that mature here is not necessarily about age or length of service with Jesus. It's more of just those who we have shared Christ with and have understood, okay? And so he goes on to say, but it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. I think he's just doing a little jab here. Like, just want you to know that when you're, the wisdom of this age leads to nothing. We're talking about something different here, something that maybe you're not familiar with. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a, mystery. Well, that's not helpful, is it? That's a bit confusing. A wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. And now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Spirit of wisdom knows even the depths of God. And we hear back in Matthew when Jesus and Peter are talking, and Peter finally realizes, oh, you're the Son of God that we've been waiting for. Jesus says, yeah, that's the Spirit of wisdom. You only know that because the Spirit of wisdom revealed that to you. And how amazing that we have access to this Spirit of wisdom that knows the depths of God. Paul says, for who knows a person's thoughts except his spirit within him? I had to pause here. I was thinking about this. I was like, I wonder if Paul is a little frustrated with these people. And he's like, look, you think you know what I'm thinking, but only the spirit within me knows what I'm thinking. So just back off a little bit. I think he's getting a little sassy here. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. Reminder, again, it takes the Spirit of God to fully understand what God has given us. The spirit of this world is going to keep reminding us that we're nothing and that we need to seek power and we need to seek strength. But only the Spirit of God can reveal to us the depths of who we are in Christ Jesus. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom. Paul's saying, listen, I'm not doing this for my own wisdom. In fact, there's verses at the beginning of this chapter that say, I'm not smart enough. I'm coming to you as on equal level with you. This is not human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. Paul's saying, okay, think about this. So if you are a spiritual person, as a follower of Jesus, you can understand these spiritual things because you have the Spirit of God within you. But then in this church, they were wanting to hold people who did not have the Spirit of God within them to these spiritual things. And it's foolishness. It's craziness to them. It doesn't make sense. I know in my own life, I see others who we get so frustrated with people that they're not doing what we think is the right thing, what is the good thing. They're not following the values of Jesus on this earth, but they don't know Jesus. We're holding them to something that doesn't make sense to them, and Paul's pointing that out. It happens ancient times as well. just reminds him, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. And just, again, a reminder of, as a spiritual person, you're gonna do things that don't make sense to others, that don't have that same spiritual perspective. So be reminded that when we are pushed back by people we care about and we love, and they don't understand why we might be doing things the Jesus way, know that maybe they're not looking at it from a spiritual perspective, but maybe from a human perspective. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And because of Christ, we have the Spirit of God. Now, I just want to notice some things in this passage as we are going along. That in this passage, Paul kind of points out there's two different kinds of wisdom going on here. There's the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of who? Of God, right? We have the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, and these are very different. They're very separate in how they operate. In fact, he starts to point out and lets us know that there are this point where if something is wise in the kingdom of this world, it's actually foolish in the kingdom of God. And if something is wise in the kingdom of God, what is it in this world? Foolish. It's like we're in this like upside down place. As followers of Jesus, things are not the way they seem in the world, in the kingdom of God. We have to be really aware of that. And because of Jesus, Jesus came, it says, Jesus brought the kingdom of God here on earth. And so the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world were brought together in this space through Jesus. And it's through Jesus that we can experience the kingdom of God wisdom on this earth, in this broken world. And there's so much brokenness, isn't there? There's so much brokenness that we experience. Those moments where we experience Jesus, when we experience the spirit of wisdom, we're experiencing the kingdom of God here on this broken earth. And when we live in that space, we allow others to experience it with us. Because of Jesus, Jesus says, as he was leaving this earth, he's like, he showed a different way of living. He lived in a way that was confusing to the world. He was in leadership for only 3 years in his public ministry, and he didn't come to this earth and take over the Roman guards. He didn't take over the castle. He didn't become ruler of all things. He came here to serve in this upside-down way of thinking. And when he was leaving, when he was trying to tell his disciples, listen, I'm going to go away, and you won't see me here, but listen, I'm sending you the Spirit of God who will give you wisdom. And so now in that space, even though we physically don't interact with Jesus day to day, just like the disciples did, we have access to the Spirit of wisdom day to day. And so just want to point out that this Spirit of wisdom helps us to navigate what is wisdom, what is foolishness. Helps us to navigate when we can stop and can we can process and we can think about what's going on here in this situation that I'm currently in that I desperately need wisdom in. What wisdom am I relying on? Am I relying on the wisdom of the kingdom of God, which is foolishness to this world, or am I relying on the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God? To me, that's a bit confusing. Maybe, how's it going for you guys? Are you with me? It's pretty confusing. We have been, in my therapy kind of background, you know, we talk all the time about what we've been raised in, the systems that we've been raised in, and we've been raised in a system of this world. We've been raised in a way to think about how we succeed in this life, how we make it in this life, how we combat brokenness in this life. That's a system that is almost embedded in us. And so it takes a lot of work to think through a different system, this kingdom of God wisdom, which is almost the opposite of what we have been ingrained in all of our life. And so I just want to recognize that. It is hard. You are not crazy to think that this is difficult, okay? We're all on the same page. And I think about, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about wise people in my life, and two stories came to mind. Two women that I know love the Lord and seek God's wisdom on a regular basis. The first one is someone I've never met, but I know her story well. In 1955, she was living in Montgomery, Alabama, she is a woman of color, and at that time, the law stated that when she bought a bus ticket, if there was a white person who needed a seat, she had to give up her seat. And she said, I love this, her quote. She said, "I always knew something was wrong with our way of life. Something was wrong with this system we lived in if people were treated differently because of the color of their skin." Now, I'm talking about Rosa Parks, and many imagine Rosa Parks as an older woman who finally just put her foot down. I've got a very strong-willed grandmother who, when she was done with something, she was done, and you did not mess with her anymore about it. And so a lot of people imagine Rosa Parks being this older woman who was tired and she just couldn't get up, so she just finally decided to make a stand. But the truth is, she was actually younger than I am. She was in her early 40s, and she had been in these conversations about the wrongness of this oppression that she was living in. She had been in conversations with people about, okay, what do we do about this? But she didn't have a plan yet. They didn't have a plan yet. But there was this moment in her story, she says, "I know God has always given me the strength to do what is right." And in that moment, I knew God was telling me not to stand up. God gave her the strength to stay seated, and she became the mother of the civil rights movement. A couple days later, she's arrested. She would spend time in jail, and a young pastor, 26 years old, named Martin Luther King, would start the Montgomery bus boycott, and it would last over a year. It would take a year for the system to change. In the wisdom of this world, we would say now, on this side of history, you should fight. You should have taken up your sword and fight for what is your right. And yet, in the wisdom of God, God called her to take a seat. The other story I was thinking about was a woman who pastors me often. She doesn't have the title of pastor, but she speaks Jesus to my soul. She encourages me. She supports me. Her name is Linda Morris, and if you were here last week, she was also here to pastor you through the sermon. And if you were not here last week, I encourage you to go online, dsbc.church, and listen to her message. It is powerful. But what is so powerful to me was I was thinking about Linda, who is also a woman of color. She's in her 80s. She lived through the Jim Crow era. She lived through segregated buses and schools. She personally experienced redlining here in Phoenix. The story is unbelievable that she tells. She still today experiences overt and covert racial aggressions in her life. And after the service, she led our deep dive time at 11 o'clock, and she told a story that changed my heart and challenged me in a way that I can't even explain fully. She was telling a story. She was saying, "You know, I was invited to speak at this church, but because of my gender, I was told I could not stand on the stage and preach from the pulpit, but instead I was invited to stand on the floor and preach from a podium." And as I'm listening to this story, this stuff is rising up in me. Can you feel it? It's like, oh no, you do not mess with my Miss Linda. So I'm thinking, she's going to let them have it. I mean, they deserve it. She's going to let them have it. And she said, "You know what? I had a choice to make." And I'm like, "Yeah, you did." And you know what she said? She said, "The Lord called me to stand on the floor and to submit." That's not the answer I expected. And I certainly still to this moment don't really like it, I got to say. But the world in me would have said, "You know what? Charge that stage. What are they going to do? They're going to pull you down?" But God, the kingdom of God wisdom, asked her to stand on the floor. It's so different. The wisdom of God is foolishness to this world. In a place where God would call one woman to sit in defiance and would call another woman to stand in submission. That doesn't make sense in my world brain. How many times have I fought for my own rights without even considering the Spirit of God might have a better plan? It's confusing. It's difficult to understand. But there are promises in this upside-down way of engaging with the world, in the Spirit of God wisdom. And I just want to point these out to you really quickly. First of all, we see in 1 Corinthians 1:27, a few verses before our passage today, it says, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And so you might be thinking, I cannot follow this God. I don't have the strength. I'm not wise in the Bible. I don't know what all these words mean. I'm not sure who Pastor Paul is or where Corinthians is. But God says, listen, I chose you. I didn't choose you because of what you know. I didn't choose you because of your strength. I didn't even choose you to fight for me. I don't need you to fight for me. I'm God, right? I chose you because you are weak, because of what you don't know, because I'm going to use what is weak in the world, what the world would dismiss, in order to shame the strong. You're right where you need to be. If this is confusing, if you don't feel like you have the strength to make it in these kind of hard decisions that God is calling us to make. But God also promises, as we live in this wisdom God has given us, it is for our glory. We can trust that's a promise, that as we live in this truth, there is glory in it. Even in the moment, if it feels like, and you may very well experience what feels like shame and dismissal, and even sometimes feeling like you're inhuman, God says, it will bring you glory. Also, we saw earlier in the scripture that it, at one point in this is verses in Isaiah, Paul's quoting a verse in Isaiah, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived. That is a verse in Isaiah where Isaiah is crying out to God like, listen, these people are falling away from you. They need signs. They need you to show yourself to them. And so, God, please show up. And God answered Isaiah in a different way. But now Paul's saying, listen, remember that scripture where people needed this proof, or they thought they needed this proof in order to understand who God is? You, as people of God, as those who are living in the spirit of wisdom from God, you now see, you now hear, you now can perceive who God is. Whereas before Christ, that wasn't always available. That's a promise that as we seek the spirit of wisdom, God will answer. You will see God, you will hear God, and you will perceive what God is calling you to do. Because through the Spirit, we are given the mind of Christ. So remember those disciples who were kind of freaked out that Jesus was leaving them. They're like, you have, in 3 years, you've turned our world all the way upside down. We're not sure we can continue this on. And Jesus is saying, I left this, the Spirit's going to be here for you. We are given that same, through the Spirit of God, through that Spirit of wisdom, we are given the mind of Christ so that we can live in the Jesus way. And that's a pretty powerful way. Remember that verse way back in the beginning where it said, the rulers of this world, their wisdom will lead them to nothing? Well, the wisdom of Jesus changed the world. We're still talking about it. How many decades later? How many centuries later? So as we step into that wisdom, how might we change the world? We're also promised in James 3, it says that wisdom that comes from heaven is first all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Imagine a world governed by these characteristics. Can you see it? That's the kingdom of God that is accessible to you, to all of us here on this broken world. As we live in brokenness, we have access to the goodness of the kingdom of God. And I gotta tell you, this world is afraid of this kind of wisdom. We saw it in the scripture where it said, none of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. And you know, sometimes we want to read that and say, okay, if they would have known Jesus was bringing all this goodness in the world, of course they wouldn't have crucified him. But think about it. In the laws of this world, what do we pursue? Power. We want power more than anything. And if Jesus is not crucified, then those of us who are following Jesus would not have this power to live in the kingdom of God. And so, of course, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. They don't want the kingdom of God here. They don't want us living in a different way. They want us to live in the system that is created that gives certain people the power and other people are oppressed. And so, as we, again, live into this kingdom of God wisdom, we change the world. We disrupt the systems of this world. In my counseling practice, oftentimes I'll work with clients, and my perspective is from a systems theory perspective. And we also often talk about, you know, when you start to change in your family of origin, or when you start to change in the community that you live in, it's going to disrupt the system. And the system's not going to like it. They're pretty happy with the way it's going. But you're not happy, so we're going to try to do something a little bit different here. And as they step into who God created them to be, to not live in this broken system anymore, the system of the world, the system of that family, of the dysfunction, gets really ugly. And so this is not a great promise, and I'm sorry, but this is another promise of stepping into this wisdom. As you do this, you're going to disrupt the world, and the world is going to respond in a way that isn't going to be fun. Just know that. But again, God gives us that strength. God promises that we will be glorified through it. So as we step into this wisdom of the world, of God, know it is going to take courage. It's going to take bravery. It's going to take trust. Trusting what God says is true, trusting that God will give us the strength to step into these ways that don't make sense. It takes patience. How often have I responded in such a foolish manner, in a way that I would not want to show up in my relationships or in my context, because I just couldn't stop and take a breath and wait and listen to the Spirit of God? Instead, I reacted out of my upbringing, out of my system that I've been living in all my life. It takes patience. And I get it. I hate that word. I really do. It's really frustrating. But again, isn't that so opposite of the world? It takes waiting. It takes listening. It takes maybe submitting when you want to fight. It takes maybe sitting when you want to lift up your sword. So my question for you today is, as you're thinking about a situation or context where you desperately are seeking wisdom, maybe there's some fear, you're just not sure what's next. Maybe consider, are you applying human wisdom when God is calling you to apply spiritual wisdom? And know that that might look very different than what you have been trained to believe. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning with so many things. There's so many things going on, so many broken spaces that we live in that desperately need your spiritual wisdom. And I know we want quick answers. I know you're calling us to be patient, calling us to trust, calling us to wait. I pray and I know that you would give us the bravery and the courage in order to sit in those spaces and wait for your wisdom, instead of leaning into our automatic systems, the wisdoms of this world. pray and thank you that you give wisdom freely, that all are invited into your space. All are invited to live in this space of peace. I pray that you give us a vision of what that could look like. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.